Blog Talk Radio.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty.
No, but this show has been hijacked by some goddamn trolls who got a hold of my pen after they've been put up. So you're not going to be able to listen to me do my show today because the
Clay, be quiet.
This is a shutdown. You fucking troll, no you can't.
You got a pen?
No, you
got a pen.
Can't.
You got a pen? You got a pen?
Fuck you,
I know you,
you
got a pen.
Son of a bitch. You think you can hijack my show? You think you can talk over me?
You got a pen?
Motherfucker.
Oh, I can talk over you.
That ain't gonna happen. It's happening.
It's happening right now. All right, Clay, I'll let you get back to your show. Just so you know, we know about you, Clay. We're shutting you down. This is Dan.
You shut
Darcy.
Me down, sir. No, you're not going to shut me down.
Oh, I'm shutting you down.
My pen number's
I'm shutting you down.
You can't shut me down, you son of a bitch.
Oh, I'm shutting you down. I just shut you down. You're shutting your show down.
Nope, show's not going to be shut down.
Show is shut down because you just said it's shut down.
Nope.
Show is
I'm
shut down.
I'm here still talking, you son of a bitch. And you're
Are you angry?
You're
Are you mad? Are you mad?
Troll.
Are you mad? Are you mad?
Yeah,
Are
I'm
you
pissed
mad?
Off. You fucking finally
oh, well,
pissed
that's,
me off,
good
you son
you,
of a
good
bitch.
For you. You want a cookie? You want a cookie? I hear Barry sells them at his flower shop.
Yeah, I bet he does.
You got a pen? You got a pen? Do you got
Screw
a pen,
you.
Clay? You got a pen? We want to know
Screw
about your Rand Moran
you.
Story and how you sucked off all the bikers. That's why you have unity with all these rival gangs.
Yeah. You're lying motherfuckers.
All right, Clay. Have a good day.
Yeah, okay. I hope you're listening to this. This motherfucker got my pen and is fucking with my show here. And I'm suing Blog Talk over this because I warned you that this was going to happen. And now it's happened. I don't know how they got a hold of my pen. But I want it fucking changed. And I want this motherfucker booted off of my show now. He's on there on Anonymous, so we can't even nail him. We can't even get him to do this. And I'm holding Blog Talk responsible for this. Yeah, we need a new server besides Blog Talk. Because they let this happen, and I warned them. I told them this was going to happen. Told them it was going to happen. And they didn't fix it. They didn't fucking fix it. Well, we don't have a phone number. We don't, we can't do this. We can't do this. The hell you can't. These trolls are pieces of shit. They're the low-life motherfuckers.
Welcome to Buzzsaw.
This is Buzzsaw with Billy Carson. He'll be talking with Sean Stone.
To explore the hidden truths. I'm your host, Sean Stone. With me today is a familiar guest, Billy Carson. He's the founder of ForbiddenKnowledge.com and UniteThe99.com. Billy has combined forces with the top anomaly hunters in the world, formed the United Family of Anomaly Hunters. Their mission is to provide enough evidence of past and present life on Earth and other celestial bodies inside our own solar system. Today, he joins me to reveal his research on genetic manipulation and much more. So let's start with this. You know, recently, becoming study scientists have come forth with this paper talking about the number 37. that appears, they say, about 9 separate times in the human genetic coding. And so they're saying, look, a coincidence like that, this would occur about 1 in 10 trillion times, right? So their whole thing is just based on this number 37 popping up so many times, they think it's a sign of intentional design. Does this look like indication for the Anunnaki theory? On one hand, there are those who say the Anunnaki sky gods are the ones that created mankind, basically from some kind of, you know, sapien, right, merging the sapien,
right,
you know, some kind of monkey creature with the alien to create a human. But then there's the other argument that says, wait a minute, the Anunnaki just were sort of the last ones to come to then manipulate the human genome or maybe to limit it and to basically create the modern human and then proclaim themselves our gods.
Right.
What's your take on that?
There's a couple of takes, because one is Neanderthal, who was thought now currently to be a lower IQ than a human. Some scientists are now coming forward saying, serving them, that will worship them, and that we will do all their bidding with no questions asked. And that's exactly what they achieved.
Because we are now delving into this realm of genetic modification ourselves. Right? Starting to actually understand the human genome, starting to do genetic modification on crops, on animals,
yeah,
potentially on humans. Mm-hmm. And does that then beg the question, did the Anunnaki modify us? Obviously, the texts talk about them using us as sort of slave labor. Mm-hmm. But did they modify us and actually then continue to live amongst the humans, mm-hmm, but in a human form? Are they still here, basically?
I believe they're still here. I mean, going back even to the part where they genetically modified or potentially slaves, it was very interesting the way that the Atrahasis epic describes the creation of mankind. Even when you go to the seventh half of creation in the Enuma Elish, one of the Anunnaki goddesses, basically, after many failed attempts of creating a perfect human that could replicate on its own, they actually had people here they were making in these cloning chambers, but they couldn't replicate on their own. They couldn't reproduce. Well, she said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take an egg out of an existing hominid. I'm going to clean up the genetic material. We're going to put genetic material in from ourselves. I think it was Enki, actually, who donated his sperm. And then she put the zygote back in her own womb and then took it to full term. And that's when they actually created the first genetically perfected human, the more modern human that we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
In that, they also did something with the DNA, because it's what they call junk DNA.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they disconnected the higher levels of consciousness and intellect to keep us at a specific level, but we still had long lifespans at that time. But the main goal that they did this, the reason why they started that whole project in the first place, was because they were tired of doing all the labor on this planet, all the mining, all the farming, and everything else. And so that's the first part of the question. And the second part of the question you had asked was
whether or not the Anunnaki could still be living here amongst us, basically as our rulers, as the elite bloodlines, for example.
Now, that's a very good question. Now, according to the Emerald Tablets, which were written by Thoth the Atlantean, who's actually the son of Enki, okay, well, he's actually obviously younger than Enki, he has been around for hundreds of thousands of years. In the Emerald Tablets, he describes going into this chamber underneath the Great Pyramid called the Hall of Amenti. And in this chamber underneath the Great Pyramid, he actually says he's descended 100 times 10, which is 100,000 years. So every so many years, he goes down to this chamber for 100 years at a time. So over the course of so many eons, he's gone down there for 100,000 combined years. So the Sumerian text is only 6,000 years old, as far as we know. So based on that, we have to think that these gods, these people, these beings, could potentially still be alive, and they could be anywhere. They could be on Earth. There's some of their offspring, because we do know that Enki married or had made it with humans.
Mm-hmm.
Thoth also took on a human wife as well. And this bloodline could be still here today propagating. And I really believe that's the bloodline that started the pharaonic bloodline, which then migrated after the last pyramid war into Arabia and then into Europe. So the bloodline actually evolved over time, but they kept it along a specific route. When it got to Europe, it was the Plaginet bloodline that is still ruling the planet until this day. And the Plaginet bloodline is John Lackland's line. John Lackland is the King of England that signed Magna Carta. But every single...
King John from...
Exactly.
From the Robin Hood legend.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And every president of the United States of America is related to John Lackland and that Plaginet bloodline, which goes back to the Arabian kings, which goes back to the Egyptian pharaohs, which then goes back to the Sumerian kings list in Iraq. Think about that for a minute. The only one president that's not related to that bloodline is Van Buren.
So if we look at the nature of the Anunnaki society, And we talked about the Pyramid Wars, obviously the rivalry that existed between various blood. I mean, even though they were half-brothers, for example, obviously they were half-brothers, but there's a rivalry between them. And then their children obviously have a rivalry between them and how the children are essentially lording over different cities, right? Each city took on a personal god. What can we understand about the nature of what's happening on Earth to say that it doesn't seem like it's just one faction that's in total control? It does seem more of, yes, there are secret societies and elites, but it doesn't seem that they're always only, you know, getting what they want. There does seem to be a bit of a conflict and a bit of a power struggle between the various, you know, elite Illuminati, if you want to call it.
Right.
How would you say that we can learn about what's happening on Earth and the power struggle on Earth based on Anunnaki society?
Oh, yeah, it goes all the way back. If you look in the biblical times, you have Cain and Abel. And then you can go forth from there. You know, you have Palestine and Israel. I mean, as you go up in time, you just see these scenarios where you have this conflict going on. In the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible, when you really analyze it and break it down, you begin to realize that these wars that are going on in Deuteronomy are actually individual gods or relatives in different cities sending human beings out, kind of like we do now, to war against other cities that they've never been to destroy and pillage and bring back the riches and so forth and so on, so that this particular entity or this god can take over that land, and now he's got expanded his kingdom. And this has been so embedded into the human culture, this style or this technique of conquer, divide, and acquire. And then you still have these bloodlines which are still here, you know, even down the line. They're down the line, but they're still here, and they still have the same mentality, the same concept. The concept is to use humans as cattle, send them out, conquer, divide, and acquire. You know, and they're just battling each other back and forth. There are multiple secret societies warring against each other. One of the most famous. They go head to head. I mean, Soros has done so many undermining things to them, and they've done so many undermining things to him. They both crashed economies just on their own word and decisions that they made in banking and so forth. But they're in a little battle as well. And even George Soros has done a battle with the United States, an undermining battle where he does things to undermine the United States dollar and things like that. So those in-secret wars or behind-the-scenes wars are still going on to this very day.
What can we learn about the Illuminati from Anunnaki religion? Because Illuminati is interesting in the sense that we know from Weishaupt's intention. Many people would actually say, look, actually he's very, you know, positive. He's talking about revolution against kings and against, you know, organized religion. And basically he's talking about, like, you know, freeing people's thought and having, you know, having to do this obviously through secret societies because of the nature of the time. If you wanted free thought at this time of, you know, Inquisition, obviously they would kill you for this. So what can we say about the nature of the Illuminati as far as is it a sort of an extension of any kind of Anunnaki religion, or maybe in opposition to Anunnaki religions?
The Illuminati is an extension of the mystery school, which started way before Egypt even existed. It's from the land of Kem. And the Emerald Tablets, the first thing that Thoth does is that they're all actually it starts on Atlantis, the actual island itself. Thoth's dad sends him to the land of Kem. He gets in a ship and he says he rises up and then he actually lands on Kem. When he gets out, there's barbarians. His job is to bring him to a higher level of civilization. From there, when they get to a certain level, he opens up the mystery schools and he begins to teach these people the higher things, dimensions, technology, quantum physics, all the stuff that they need.
Yeah, I just thought I'd tell you, fuck you, Barry. I know you're behind this some way.
You see what you did, sir. This is what happened. Now the guy
this
who's
is what happened. What? Well, you're fucking. You get a hold of my pen and you try to interrupt my show, you motherfucker.
I'll tell you what, it's not me, it's my brother, my little brother. Let me tell you something, Clay. You have fucked with the wrong Jew here. Okay, my brother
fuck
works
you.
For Belfast.
Tell you what,
he has,
fuck
he
you.
Has infiltrated.
Give me a confession here, you lying little fucking Jew.
He's infiltrated your show. Now, there's a way out of this, Clay, but you don't, you always got to say nasty things to me and bad things about me. And I don't understand why you do that, because I've only been one of your biggest fans ever. But my brother, he was very upset that you called me a Jew, that you said my grandfather was playing tennis at Auschwitz. It's a horrible thing, sir. Horrible.
What tone do we have here from 432? This Michael again? Hey, piece of shit, 432!
Hang up.
What, Michael? Hey, you piece of shit, 432, I'm talking to you, motherfucker. Go to hell, then. I see you got your hand up, 857. What the fuck do you want?
I'm just trying to listen to the show. Jesus Christ.
Fuck you. Go to hell. Don't listen
Stop
to my show.
Stop fucking kicking
it's
me. Have some respect
fuck
for
you.
Your
Go
fans.
To hell.
Have
my
some respect for your fans.
213. Who's this?
Hi, Clay. This is Clash from Los Angeles. I hope everything's going all right.
No. No, the show's been hijacked. The show's been hijacked by some of these fucking trolls. What do you want?
Well, Clay, I wanted to challenge you to a boxing match at the Big Spring YMCA on January 28th.
Fuck you. Go to hell.
No, Clay, listen. Clay, listen. This is Dr. Joshua Higgins.
You,
this is Dr.
Go
are
to
you,
hell.
You're scared.
Challenge me to a boxing match. You want to challenge a 71-year-old man to a boxing match? Fuck you, you ignorant motherfucker. 812, what do you want? Hey, you piece of shit, I'm talking to you. 812, never
Hello.
Mind, go to fucking
this
hell.
This is Johnny Long.
Yep, I don't believe you, Johnny Longfeather, fuck you. 619, who are you, what do you want?
Yeah, why do you keep hanging up on me?
Because I think you're a dumb motherfucker and you don't need to be calling into my show. What do you want?
I'm just listening, Clay. I don't know why you keep hanging up. I didn't even do anything. That's how you treat all your fans? I mean, fuck, you're like
you held up your hand.
All the...
You wanted to talk to me in the middle of a show that's been fucking hijacked.
Well, I'm waiting. I could just wait for you. I mean, you don't have to get all mad and, like, start hanging up on me and just screaming. I mean, I watch it. I hear your show every fucking day, dude. I'm your fan. I mean, damn, man. Maybe I should just stop calling in. I mean, this is how you treat everybody? I mean, that's not fair, dude. Like, you got the trolls on your case. Okay, I get that. But, like, real fans that buy your books and listen to your show and you're like, fucking getting mad at us. We didn't even do nothing. Hello? Clay. You don't have to give me the silent treatment, Clay.
Who
For the
are
love
you?
Of God, say something.
I'm it takes
I'm
time
Daniel.
To keep interfering with my show, you dumb motherfucker.
I have not I have
Who is
nothing
this?
To do with that, Clay.
Who is this?
I'm not the one my name is Daniel.
Daniel, huh?
Yes, sir.
And that's supposed to mean something to me, Daniel, from the 619 area code?
Well, doesn't your fans mean something to you, or what, are you trying to just get rich off of people? Don't you care about your fans?
No, because I think you're a fucking troll. Go away. Don't fucking listen to my show anymore. You're ignorant motherfuckers. So that's all you fucking people are on this troll line, on this shit.
Then
chat
why do you
you're
even do the show if that's the case?
Go to hell, 213. Boxing match, huh? Fuck you. Go to hell. Now, Barry, what are you again? You're going to tell me your brother is responsible for all this? Go ahead and confess again, you fucking ignorant motherfucker.
Good morning, Clay. How are you?
Fuck you. Here's another asshole from the 920 area code. What do you want?
I want to request a song called Ram Ranch about 18 naked.
Goodbye. I've heard it, don't like it, fuck you. 971.
need to know, you know, the universe and everything else, how things work, even to a higher level, talking about even manipulating the ether through vibrations and thought. So these mystery schools maintained for many, many years, and they were for invitation only, but they were for enlightenment of the race. Over time, as some of these gods left and disappeared, like Thoth, for example, after he was gone, he became a deity. He wasn't a deity when he was here. He was a deity after he left, and many years after he left. And then all of a sudden, the pyramid priests figured out, oh, wow, we can use this as a control method. So that was one of the beginning of one of the very first secret societies was the mystery schools. When the gods left, and Thoth left, Enki left, and it was like, okay, now we can manipulate this. We can use this on the people. And they began using it against the people for many different things. And it evolved over many years. So even though the Illuminati maybe started up as another branch to say we need to do this because we're trying to create our own revolution, but then again, it always turns out to be the same thing, control and manipulation, same with religion, you know, same with politics. It always turns into a control factor.
And in terms of religion, obviously we've heard people proclaim that we're reaching the end times, right? There's a lot of symbols around, you know, the nature of the trumpet. The trumpets are flaring and we're entering revelations. And then this whole thing about Russia and China, obviously conflict with Russia and China and the U.S. being part of this, you know, book of revelation. Do you believe that this is basically a script that's being played out as, you know, according to what's been set down by the controllers of religion to say the idea is to create basically another nuclear war or some kind of genocidal thing to get rid of large parts of the population?
It's possible, but I have a little slightly bit of a different take on it. I think that a lot of these wars are all fabricated from the very beginning. In other words, when I say fabricated, I don't mean that people aren't dying and fighting, because they are fighting and dying. But even if you go back to the Civil War, you discover that it was funded on both sides by the same group. And every war thereafter, including World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, that was a whole lie. You know, the Gulf of Tonkin lie that started the whole Vietnam. It's all about profits, money, and control, and keeping the people fighting each other. And they really see human beings as cattle. They don't care if we destroy each other, wipe each other out to a certain point. They'll pull back when they need to keep a specific amount here. But when you go into the ancient Sumerian text, you find that Enlil himself, when the people started getting too loud and too obnoxious, he would say, call the humans, call them, put a plague out there. But they had weather control because he said, dry the fields out, no food will grow for, you know, a year or two. And he'd kill them off that way. They send people to these wars that didn't make any sense. So they had the ability to do this back then, and it's still progressing into this current day. I don't think there's going to be a nuclear war that will end everything, because they're not that dumb. And I think, based on what I've seen in 2010 from the Disclosure Project, which actually broadcast live on CNN, you had all those military soldiers from the 1960s and 70s come forward and say that these UFOs came to the missile silos and turned off the nukes. So I don't think we're going to see a nuclear war. I just think it's a lot of theater. And that theater generates revenue for those countries.
But if there's theater, there's also a real rivalry. And that begs the question of, who do you think is in charge? Is it Anki or Enlil or any of their children that ultimately believe that they have the mantle of, you know, tablets of destiny, for example, the mantle of kingship over the earth at this point?
It's actually Amun-Ra, who's Marduk, Thoth's brother. Because during the last Pyramid War, he was defeated. I don't think he took that too well. He had to escape, number one. And during his escape, right before he decided to leave and, well, like, rule from space, is what he basically says, is he actually turned over the riches of the kingdom to the Ra-Kam. The Ra-Kam means offspring of. And when you translate the word Kam, K-A-M, into more modern terms, the word Kam is shield. So he transferred the riches and the rulership of this earth and the kingdom to the Ra-Shield. And that's who's running the planet to this very day.
A lot of internecine fighting, as I understand, between even within that family itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about the nature of wars profiting countries. Obviously, we know that it's been tremendous for the amount of national debt that ultimately goes back to the private banks that, you know, that are behind, you know, the central banking system itself, right? So these wars are tremendous for putting people into debt. But is there something else that's part of the design for the war? So I'm thinking maybe things like ritual sacrifice and, you know, how would blood sacrifice play into the design of conflict?
Yeah, these elites are very into blood sacrifice and these rituals, like the Bohemian Grove rituals where they worship the owl and do these sacrifices out there, whether they're real or not, I don't really know, but I know that they're doing them. But it seems so weird that a lot of these leaders and these rulers and these elite people are so much into this sacrifice stuff, and it's almost as if they I want a time scale with these. Like every so many years or months, they start these problems or these I guess you want to call it issues with other countries. They have an issue with embargoes. They have an issue with trade. They have an issue with they move warships into certain areas to trigger certain responses from other countries, and then all of a sudden, you know, we have a situation that breaks out, and in the end, a lot of people die. And for whatever reason, these elite people get a satisfaction out of it. I look at some of the politicians, I don't know if I can name their names, in America that have ordered drone strikes on people and that have killed literally millions of innocent civilians in other countries.
As far as the actual controllers within the system, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we're talking about the managers, the politicians, the bankers, the military men. They don't really seem like that they themselves run the system. Obviously, they're part of it, but aren't they also enslaved by the system themselves?
Yeah, see, one of the biggest things that a lot of people don't realize is not only are we the prisoners, but we're also the prison guards. And when somebody really understands what that means, then they go, oh, my God, you're right, because we're governing ourselves, and it's like the crab in the bucket. When you have one crab try to climb out of the bucket, the other crabs grab it and pull it right back down again. And, you know, so we have the whole, police system. We have the military system. We have the political system. And all these systems are designed to keep all of us in check, including them, because they've got to follow orders as well. If they don't follow orders, then they lose out. And unfortunately, some of the ones at the higher levels, they sell themselves out to enrich themselves. They literally sell out the human race to enrich themselves, knowing that this is going to cause damage, trauma, and even destroy the environment. But because they're at a higher, more comfortable level, it seems to be okay with them. But at the same time, we're still all on the same playing ground. There's still somebody above them, and I really believe it potentially could be Amun-Ra, who's also named Marduk, still running the show from behind the scenes, because he had to escape out of here. I don't think he took it that well. He already had took a war, according to the text, to take over earlier than he was supposed to. Before his constellation arose, he took over a little early, and that caused a lot of battle between him and his brother. And he actually ended up leaving Egypt because of Amun-Ra. Mm-hmm. They were fighting too much.
Mm-hmm. But part of the sadism makes me wonder, obviously we hear a lot of accounts about demons and about, you know, there's a spiritual dimension, ghosts, the idea that, you know, you're doing sacrifices, but ultimately these spirits have to go somewhere, and maybe they're feeding into a demonic energy. How does the demons play into the Anunnaki story? Because it would not necessarily be the same thing. Demons can be separate from these sky gods.
Absolutely. What they did was they manipulated the whole, and Lilith was the one behind it. People began to realize that Enki and Thoth were really helping mankind and taking them to another level, and they would go around really helping people. And Lil despised that. He didn't want any interaction. He didn't want people helping any humans. It made him an enemy of his own relatives. And he began to call Enki Satan and the devil and so forth. So he's the one who actually is the evil person, but then tried to flip it on his own relatives and make it say that they were the serpents and they were the evil devils and so forth and so on. But now when it comes to a lot of these rituals, what the rituals are really doing, it's not that so much that you're pulling entities out of other dimensions. What happens is words have power, and this is why we call it spelling, S-P-E-L-L-ing, because we're casting spells. Every word we speak literally casts a spell. Every book you read is casting a spell. People don't understand this because they think, oh, it sounds evil. No, but it's not. Even when you pray, you're trying to cast a spell in your favor. So words have power because they create a vibration, and that vibration and frequency has control over the ether. It's already been proven. Frequency and vibration make everything we see. It creates our reality tunnels. So what these people are doing when they start doing these rituals and doing all these chants and things, it's because they're trying to make they're trying to create a new tunnel through the actual ether itself to benefit themselves. They're actually creating something within the universal consciousness that actually creates something in their own reality that actually they can manifest. Thoth talks about this in the Emerald Tablets, where he actually is able to manifest bricks and stone out of speech and vibration from his own voice.
Mm. Do we have any indication that Enki and sort of the more positive side of the Anunnaki are trying to basically reassert any influence over Marduk and Enlil?
I haven't seen anything yet. I've heard some things that Thoth is coming back or that he's here now and he's going to try to work with, you know, his dad and try to bring things back into balance. It's very possible. A lot of the ancient texts always talk about them coming back. They've always said they're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like they've been gone for a long time, but we're talking about human lifespans. if somebody can live for over 100,000 years, it's nothing but a blink of an eye for them. If they live for 400 years, by 1,000 years, it's nothing. They just went around the corner. So we can't really perceive time in that way. But it seems like as if we're really overdue for some help here. I would open my heart to some help right now, I'm telling you.
One place that seems to be very relevant to indicate the ancient past is Antarctica. The Peary Reefs map indicates Antarctica obviously wasn't always covered by ice. And then there's this whole new theory that part of the reason for some nuclear weapon deployments that the U.S. has been doing, or at least did during the Cold War, was actually to artificially warm the ice and essentially start to access natural resources in the South Pole. Or do you think it's beyond natural resources? It's actually about discovering ancient cities or indications of an Anunnaki civilization.
Yeah, I think that Antarctica is just an amazing place. I mean, and I tell everybody, please go on Google Earth and go to Antarctica, because you can see that almost every country has a base in Antarctica right now. And it's actually a neutral zone. In other words, if I'm your worst enemy, I can't shoot you, kill you, attack you, or kill you in Antarctica. It's a free zone. But they're all there doing these top secret projects and working on the same thing, whatever the case may be. I do really feel, because back in the early days, we would set off nuclear bombs for anything just to see what we can do. We tried to open up the atmosphere to release radiation by blowing up a bomb in space. And I don't see any reason why they wouldn't have tried to blow up a bomb. We blew up that little island in the middle of the Pacific just to do a test. But it probably did blow up some regions of Antarctica to try to break some of that ice away and see if they can find an entrance, or also find out what's there, some technology, because they probably already did a scan of the area and said, okay, there's something so many meters down or so many miles down. Let's take this top layer off and see if we can start to get to it. So it's very possible that they did that. I know that there's a lot of artifacts there. And when you look on Google Earth, you see gigantic ancient bases. And they have to be, because these stone walls are so old and so dilapidated, but they're super megalithic. So once again, this is not normal masonry. These are gigantic blocks. I'm talking about blocks that would rival the pyramid blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to say, okay, did the Nazis build this? Because I don't think they would have built a megalithic structure at the time. I think that they built some stuff there, and I think that they're maybe still there. But I don't think that they built those megalithic structures.
Well, of course, that begs the question of why the Nazis were in Antarctica in the first place. Mm-hmm. Well, what was it? Why did they want to build new Schwabenland in the poles?
They had been chasing down every piece of ancient text and ancient relic. They went to Tibet. They went everywhere all over this world, scouring this planet for all this ancient information, because they wanted to know how to create things out of the ether. They wanted to know how to create Vimanas that could fly, and they wanted to get a hold of these people, and I believe that they made contact with these Pre-Adamite people and maybe some of these Pleiadian-type tall whites or whatever down there. And I really think that they got accepted for whatever reason. These people seem to me have helped them and maybe even accepted them into the society. Some of them may have still been there all this time.
So do you think that there's potential entry into the inner Earth through the poles?
There's no doubt about it. You can see them from the Google Earth. You can see gigantic, massive openings. Some are several kilometers wide. They go right in. There's been accounts of military pilots flying into some of these openings. Corey Good does a great job explaining one of the openings that he from his own experience, that he saw this massive underground city that went on for miles.
And is this where some of the Anunnaki could have gone, some of the Anki and Thoth type of figures would have gone to the inner Earth?
It's very possible, because in the Sumerian tablets, when Enki gets here, Enlil builds his mansion above ground, and Enki actually uses a tool to drill into the ground and builds a complete palace deep in the Earth's inner, it says. So it's very possible. They're used to living underground already. So it's very possible that there still could be something there. I remember Phil Schneider in the 80s had come forward. He was a U.S. military geologist that was helping with an underground base, and one layer broke free, and they fell into this underground chamber where there was an alien base of some sort. He didn't recognize them as human. And even a war broke out where he was shot, and his hand was sliced with these kind of laser slicing, and his body was kind of cut open. And he lived for a little while after, but he eventually died from his wounds. But he was one of the first people to really come out and say, look, I'm a geologist for the military. I opened this area up, and there were people down there.
And as far as Antarctica goes, you've mentioned in your work that there's a correlation of structures between Antarctica and the structures you've seen there and Mars, as far as the anomalies are concerned.
Oh, yeah. There's a supermassive pyramid in Antarctica. I mean, supermassive. And some military soldiers have come forward and talked actually to Linda Moten Howe with their testimony about the fact that it's still emitting some type of exotic energy. And now you have all the leaders of the world have gone down there, everybody from the Queen of England to, you know, Donald Trump to Obama. Everybody's gone to this location. More recently, Buzz Aldrin went there, one of the first people to walk on the moon, and he was completely horrified at what he found out. He actually went on Twitter and made a tweet that said something to the effect of, "They are pure evil. We're in trouble." Within 4 or 5 hours, it had gotten deleted, but the tweet luckily was obviously saved by millions of people, so we could probably find that very easily. But he did make that tweet. Then they said he was sick, and then they extradited him out of there immediately. But there are massive megalithic walls there. There's pyramids there, and there's massive openings by these megalithic walls to inside of somewhere. How deep they go, I don't know. But I would say it's safe to say that there's definitely something down there worthwhile, because why would all the countries of the world spend all that energy, money, finances, and research to stay down there?
Indeed. So on the whole, we talked about obviously the notion that potentially Anki and this sort of this more positive side of the Anunnaki might be stepping forward in the future to sort of make their presence more felt, or to start to shift away from the influence of Marduk and the Enlil faction. But what is it ultimately that you think the Anunnaki still want with humans at this point?
Yeah, I think that the ones that are here, believe it or not, are there's a rumor that, well, it's not really a rumor, but I guess it's a hypothesis, that some of them got stuck here after the last pyramid war. Some chose to stay, but when I say stuck here, because after you're on a planet with dense gravity versus your home planet, which supposedly was 4 to 6 times larger, and you're here for so many thousands of years, millennia, your body then adjusts to this gravity. It's almost impossible for you to go back and sustain a normal life on that planet. When astronauts come back just from being in space for a little while, they could barely walk. Imagine if it was millennia that they were up there and then came back. They'd be completely disintegrated. So their bodies have gotten used to the Earth's gravity, and I think that some of them have already taken wives and they decided to stay. But ultimately, the bloodlines who are told about the truth, you know, they want to make it back to the stars. So I think ultimately what's happening is human beings are still being used as cattle, because we're a mean to their end. And their end is to use us to get all the resources, to get all the finances, even though it's fake money, but to generate enough resources through that method, that system, that they can work on the secret space program and they can get themselves back out into the space and stars.
Right, but the notion being that they lost the technology at some point, that they had the technology to travel and they lost that.
They lost it, absolutely, because you know, for example, let's say we have a spaceship and we travel to another planet, we crash land, okay, then we have, you know, our kids are there with us and they go on and they mate and everything and they have more kids. And by the second or third generation, that wreck is just a piece of metal. It means nothing. I mean, they have no technology to get off their planet. They don't even have a way to make a screen or a cell phone or anything. They've got to start literally from zero. And I think that after that last pyramid war and when the Anunnaki did leave, they took a lot of the technology they had with them. They cleaned house down here. They took stuff out of the Great Pyramid. They buried entire cities that were advanced cities. They just found another 300 or 400 buried pyramids right in the sands of Giza. These cities are buried. I mean, this sand is imported and dumped there, and there's many places around the world like that that this has happened. So I believe that you know, they're in the process, or have been in the process over millennia, of getting back to space. To us, again, it seems like a long period of time, but to them, it's just all, even if it's generational, they don't care. It's a mission that I believe that they're on. And the whole secret behind the 33rd degree Masons, the biggest secret behind it all, besides all the mysteries and things like that, the biggest secret is space travel. Because in order to leave the planet Earth, you have to travel 33 times the speed of sound to leave this planet. And that's the biggest secret of them all. That's behind it. It's about getting off this planet. It's about getting back into stars.
It's fascinating. Fascinating insights. Thank you so much, Billy, for your time.
Appreciate it.
There you have it, folks. Great insights from Billy Carson. You might agree with or believe everything said here today, so I urge you to check out his website, forbiddenknowledge.com, for more details. Remember, the road to truth is a perilous path along the buzzsaw's edge and requires constant reassessment. I'm your host, Sean Stone. You are the revolution.
All right. That was Buzzsaw. Let's see what else we got on there.
It's time for magic and mystery at the fourth turning. Let's enter the buzzsaw.
More buzzsaw.
Welcome to Buzzsaw. We cut through the mainstream narrative to explore the hidden truths. I'm your host, Sean Stone, and joining me today is Jay Widener, who's called by Wired Magazine an authority on the Hermetic and alchemical tradition. Jay Widener is a renowned filmmaker, author, and scholar. His body of works offers great insight to the circumstances that have led to the current global crisis. He's writer-director of the new feature film, The Last Avatar, director of the critically acclaimed documentary, Infinity, The Ultimate Trip.
Jay Widener, yeah.
And writer-director of the documentary series on the work of Stanley Kubrick, including Kubrick's Odyssey and Beyond the Infinite. Today, he takes us on a journey into his research. So I want to start by asking you, you've said that the only people who call conspiracies theories are the conspirators. And that begs the question, you know, why do you believe in conspiracy so adamantly? What was your awakening moment?
Well, I had the good fortune most of my life of, for some reason, being invited into high-ranking Freemasonic libraries.
And I'm going to put that on hold for a moment here. And run over here. You've been pretty adamant about getting on here and wanting to talk to me. Who are you? What the fuck do you want?
I want to make a song request for Ram Ranch about 18 naked cowboys in the shower.
Fuck
at
you.
Ram Ranch.
Fuck you.
We need to get sucked at Ram Ranch, Clay.
Fuck you. Go to hell. You're never getting back on here. Go to hell. And you, Barry. Everybody tell me you're selling all the books, you're doing all this, you're behind this whole fucking, your brother at AT&T, I'll be sure and put in a good word with him with the FBI. What else do you want, Barry? What do you want from me, you fat motherfucker? What do you want? Why do you keep harassing me? Why are you on here every fucking morning? What?
Where are you, Clay? Are you there? Have we lost you? I wonder why we lost you. Let me explain why we lost you. Because I have a brother who's an IT specialist. Yes. And he works for Bell South as an IT specialist. So that makes it 0-2 for you, my friend. I want to be a friend of yours. But you choose not to be my friend. You choose to be my enemy. I don't like enemies. And I'm starting to not like you. Have a good day, sir.
Play show is canceled.
All right. We got rid of the toes. I'm back on the air here in the proper spot. Now, let's see, what were you saying, Barry? And by the way, Lynn, we've had a troll sitting here in the driver's seat in the host channel here for the last fucking hour. He finally dropped off. He won't get back on again. And we'll be listening to Sean Stone here in a few minutes here as soon as I get this goddamn... thing cleaned out here. And what do we got? Do we kick Barry off? He's a dumb motherfucker. I'm not going to let him back on.
Clay, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're still with me, you dumb son of a bitch. Why are you doing this? I'm turning you over. Every fucking law enforcement agency out there, you counterfeiting books. I've got your confession here. Now you've confessed to interfering with my show on Blog Talk. What is it with you, Barry? What, you left again?
This is Stan Darcy.
What? Speak up, Barry. I can't hear you no more. Yeah, well, this piece of shit is off. Were you here? Are you still there, Barry?
I'm here.
Is that you?
Yes. I hung up on you this time, Clay, instead of you hanging up on me.
Oh, I see. Well, you know what? Fuck you, Barry. I'm going to turn you into every fucking law enforcement agency out there. You're
already have.
Stealing books,
already have
you're fucking bragging about... What?
You've already turned me in. I've been in jail 3 times because of you. Don't you think after a while I'm going to get a little pissed off?
He's not going to give anything.
I don't give a fuck. Go there with your buddy there. But you go fuck yourself. Stay off my show. Goodbye. And let's see what else we got here. 813, you've been on there on a regular basis. Who the fuck are you?
Hey, Clay. I was just calling. What the heck is that music? Is that your new theme song? I don't know. I don't.
Goodbye. Something on your end, you ignorant motherfucker. 857, how about you, 857? What kind of troll are you?
I'm not a troll, I'm a fan, and you keep on yelling and screaming at me.
I haven't even started to yell, you motherfucker.
I want an apology. I want an apology.
Fuck you. How about that? Go to hell. Fuck you. Don't listen to me no more. Go to hell, you ignorant motherfucker. Apology. Bye, ass. 619, who are you? I see you in the fucking chat room. I've kicked you out a dozen times. You come
Clay,
back. What
Clay,
do you want?
The guy's back. Listen, the guy is back. He's in your host key. You can't hear him? Listen, watch. Listen close. Whoever this is, he's a professional hacker. He's hacking into your show. I'm trying to help you. He's doing that whole music thing, and he's like whispering. He keeps saying his name is Stan Darstein or something like that. Dude, listen in the background. This is pretty freaky, dude. How did they have control over your show? What the fuck are they doing, dude? They're like literally destroying your show. I don't know, man. You need to get some type of law enforcement, some type of agency.
Yeah, fuck
some type
you.
Of...
Good. All right, yeah. Thanks for all your fucking input.
You,
now, you get off my show and stay out of here. I'll kick you out of
your
fucking time. I see.
619. You can hear him. You can hear him. Listen.
Goodbye. 612. Who are you? What
hey,
are you
Clay.
Doing in here?
Clay, this is Joe, a big fan calling from Michigan. How are you, sir?
Physically, I'm fine. Mentally, I'm a little perturbed, and I don't really want to hear from any more fucking trolls in my chat room.
Well, I'm not in your chat. I'm actually calling from a Walmart parking lot, sitting here listening to you. I feel sorry for you and what you're going through, man. I know you're battling these guys. You know, I tuned in yesterday. And I was waiting to hear some good information, and all I heard about was Ram Ranch and throbbing hard cocks and 18 naked cowboys waiting to get sucked and fucked. What the hell's going on, Clay? What are they doing to you?
Bunch of fucking fags out here pissed off because they know I don't like them. They know I won't support them. So they hacked into my show. That's all I can tell you. Thanks for your support. Goodbye.
917, I ain't fucking talking to you no more. 317, who are you? What do you want?
Good morning, Clay. This is Johnny Longfeather of Seymour, Indiana, home of John Mellencamp. I'm very sorry that this issue is happening. I'm kind of surprised that Blog Talk doesn't seem to have any help for you. Have you called them? Have you reported this? The fact they have your number? Your PIN?
They got my PIN somehow, and they beat me online today. So,
it's terrible.
As far as I can tell,
I wanted to give you... Can I give you an update?
You want to talk over me, Longfeather? Don't come back in the room. Don't come back into my fucking room.
I apologize. I wanted to
You always fucking apologize for talking over me. Fuck you, Longfeather. Don't come back into my room. Goodbye. Nine one nine. I'm not even talking to you. Goodbye. Go to hell. 920. Never fucking talking to you again. 531. Clay, what do you fucking want?
Hey Clay, this is Rob. It's very unfortunate about everything that's happening to the show and the trolls just going a little crazy.
Yeah, you're a troll too, Rob. You're a fucking troll too. Don't come back into my chat room anymore.
Higgins is
the master
of the trolls.
I see a Rob here. I'm kicking you out. You understand that? You motherfucker. I don't care where you Rob from. Rob's not allowed in my chat rooms anymore. See, I love a motherfucker that tries to talk over me. You can't do it. Goodbye, you ignorant son of a bitch. 616. What do you want?
This is Brad Johnson calling in. How are you doing this morning?
What do you think?
Fine, I'm assuming. But I was wondering if you had maybe an extra 10 minutes to spare, you could run over here and shave Granddaddy. I was wondering if you had an extra 10 minutes to spare to run over here and shave Granddaddy.
No. Goodbye, dumb motherfucker. Babe, get fucked. Stay out of my room.
There's a lot of trolls on here today, sir. A lot of trolls. I said there's a lot of trolls on here today, sir.
And you're the head troll. Fuck you. Stay out of my room. I don't want to ever fucking see you again.
Let's have a talk. Let's have a talk. A calm
talk. You were
talk.
Supposed to send me some money. You didn't, you lying son of a bitch.
I did. I sent you $627. I was actually trying to call you yesterday, but you wouldn't pick up my call. You don't ever pick up my call, sir.
Yeah, my phone blocks anybody that I haven't approved, and I haven't approved you. And
why
you didn't send me any money. Shut up! Don't fucking talk over me! You dumb motherfucker! Don't talk over me! Don't you fucking dare talk over me! I'll hang up on you right now. You didn't send me any money. I checked my PayPal. You didn't send me any $600. You're a lying motherfucker.
I did send it. I sent it to, hold on, I have the paperwork right here. Let me. I sent it to CLAY, which I think is how you spell your name, at yourfreeamerican.com, and I sent it like four times.
No, you son of a bitch, that you're in Steve's website. My PayPal is clay@freeamerican.com. There is no you're in it, you dumb motherfucker. You sent it. Yourself, don't come back. Motherfucker. 857, what do you want?
Hey, Clay, it's Jason again, man. I just wanted to thank you. I actually received your email from clay@yourfreeamerican.com apologizing for the way
email.
You treated me on the
email.
Don't talk
dumb
over me, please.
Goodbye. Hey, we got anonymous on here and another fucking host here. I don't believe that.